73rd chapter and the 24th book.
Right. What's it say? Thou?
Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me unto glory.
That's correct. Now, he knew it a month ago. He quoted it to me out on the parking lot a month ago. I'll try to be getting us a new verse. Let's, everyone now, let's see if we can do as good as Brother Roger together. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Good. Again. Good. Again. Amen. Thank you.
Can you take over the lead on the course?
Who is refreshed?
Shine the day.
He's present. Yeah. And He's always there.
Yeah.
He's my guiding star. He is that peace. There is peace when you speak His name.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that heaven's real.
Yeah.
It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Yeah. I love Him this morning. He really is my sunshine in the midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Him this morning and thankful for Him. He's always there.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you only have one of something, it might be precious. There's only one. There's only one.
Yeah.
Brother Danny, would you pray for us, please? What book are we in? Second John is correct. Got the same author as we just finished, the author of First John, the author of St. John, the author of 3 John, we'll hit pretty soon, and then the author of Revelation. Now this second John here, it's the only book in the Bible addressed to a woman. And it's the shortest book in the entire Bible. And John, of course, he doesn't mention himself. He's the elder. A lot of times he's the disciple that Jesus loved. He represents the church. He laid his head on Jesus' breast, heard the heartbeat of God. He doesn't give her name, possibly because of persecution from the Roman authorities. Probably, more than likely. Now the first 6 verses go together, and then the rest of the chapter goes together. He starts off here, he commends her and her children. Let me read down through here a little bit. 2 John, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, some believe this is a church, but I think it's a woman because they didn't have church houses then, and I'm thinking they probably met in her house. I'm just guessing. I can't prove that. Not really guessing, but I can't prove it. But it's to the elect lady. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Anybody in here know the truth?
Yeah.
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the capital F Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Now, down through these 6 verses, you have the word love 4 times, and you have the word truth 4 times. And He's asking us, at the end of verse 3 there, to go in truth and love. It's important to get both. If you practice truth without love, that's legalism. You'll end up being a legalist. And if you use love without truth, you'll be a liberal. And we need to stay down the middle of the road, not compromising, but with Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible. And here it says, the truth and love. The truth and love. John is the shepherd here. He's older now. He's older. Nothing new, but he's wiser. And he's concerned with anti-Christian teaching. Right. We'll see after we get to verse 7. That's what the rest of the chapter is about, from 7 down. And that needs to be combated. False teaching needs to be combated. We need to stand for the truth. We need to stand for it in love. We're soldiers. We're soldiers. And we need to stand in the gospel. We have the Lord's own word for it, to stand in truth and love. He said, on this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He's going to take care of us. Tares may flourish for a while, but He's going to take care of that. And sometimes it seems as though they triumphed, but in the field, He's going to take care of it. We cannot uproot them. We cannot uproot the tares. An enemy hath done this, is what he says. And the condition is prolonged, but it's not permanent. On harvest day, on judgment day, the Lord's going to take care of the tares. Till then, we just stand for the truth. He's going to cast them into the furnace of fire. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. He's going to take care of it. The Father is, the Judge is, the Lord Jesus is. Let's read about it in Matthew 13. Starting in verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also, weeds, if you will. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said to them, an enemy hath done this. Yeah. The servants said to him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in a time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That's what the Lord said. Verse 36, we get the interpretation of it, starting in 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the capital S Son of Man, the same one that's precious, the same one that there's only one of. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. The believer dwelleth in righteousness and does not need to be tricked by the tares. Don't get slicked. Don't get tricked. The Lord's going to take care of this. Now the grace, let's go back to 2 John. He talks about grace and peace and mercy. And we need all three, and all three are readily available. They're running around here. Verse 3, grace be unto you, mercy and peace. Grace is the unlimited resources that the Father has for us. It's grace that He had for us salvation, but that's not the end of the grace. It's grace that we got clothes on our back, food on the table, shoes on our feet. It's His unlimited resources and loving kindness that render to us this grace. And it's all on the believer's behalf. As far as I can see, He did it all for me.
Yeah.
It's all for me. I think He loves me better than anyone else.
Yeah.
I think He loves me better than Roger, even though Rog is the pet, the teacher's pet. Peace. Peace means the war is over,
right,
and the victory's been won, and we're on the winning side.
Right.
And we just go ahead and mark it down. If you've made your peace with God, then you have the peace of God living in your heart. And then mercy means that God will not allow the enemy to go further against you than you're able to bear. He'll make a way to escape, is what Corinthians says. So this is the Lord taking care of us. And He does it through grace and mercy and peace. This is love demanded. He wants us to have truth and love. It's what we saw over and over again. He's wanting it for the sister, for the elect lady. He's wanting it for her children, the obedient children. He has no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And that's what the Lord wants for us. That's what He wants Brother Rick to walk in truth. He wants Brother Rick to be obedient. And He has no greater joy than when we do that. When you do that and when I do that. It's the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
Right.
Romans 13, we can look at this. Romans 13, verse 8. Working ill is the habit of the cults, of the tares, if you will. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, the heretics, the tares, are persistent. Again, there's only one way that a true false statement is true. There's many false around you. The false question can be off because of the date, the time, the place, the punctuation, the capitalization. There's many ways things are false around you. But there's only one true. We're back to one again.
Right.
One Savior, one Lord, one faith.
Yeah.
The faith once delivered unto the saints. But the enemy is persistent. He's prevalent. We're outnumbered. The majority doesn't mean it's right. The majority's religion. That doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. And it's also poisonous. It's poisonous. It'll kill you. Just as sure, the false will kill you just as sure as picking up a rattlesnake. Just as sure. It's deadly. Love and truth. In truth and love. The false have, the world's has infatuation. It has passion. It has pleasure, has gratification. But it's not the same thing as what we have. That's lust. That's Hollywood. What we have is love. That's what God put in our heart. I didn't have it before He moved in. I got it from Him. The believers have grace and mercy and peace and love, separated unto God's love, separated from the world, from sin, unto God, is what we just learned Thursday night. That's the way the Lord does it. And the children walk in truth. He's admonishing us to walk in truth and love. In verse 5, He's begging. He's saying, I beseech thee. It's urgent. It's important. It's absolutely necessary. We must love each other. And we get to love each other. It's not hard. It's not hard to love you guys, brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's easy. This is an easy commandment. It's not an option. It's a commandment. And it's not something new. We just read this the other day, Leviticus 19, 18. It's not something new. We're used to it. Leviticus 19, 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Yeah. And that's God's will for Brother Rick. I just want to know the will of God for my life. Well, right here it is. Yeah. That's the will of God for my life and for your life. It carries right on over to the New Testament. Let's try it in John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have a King James Bible. No? I misread that. By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have a good haircut. No? I missed it. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. The world knows if we love each other or not. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for something real. They're looking for something real. Okay, let's go back to 2 John now. Starting in verse 7. The warnings. Here's some warnings. For... number one, we're supposed to look out for Satan. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. We had that back in 1 John, if you back up one page, 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. See, I need to know that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man.
Yes, amen.
He wasn't 50-50. He wasn't half and half.
Right.
See, this is the part I missed when I was growing up. I knew he was a good man. I knew he was a prophet, priest, king. I did not know that Jesus was Jehovah. I did not know he was. I missed the part. I heard the words, but I missed the part that he was God. I knew the other. I missed that part. Then back in 2 John, we're supposed to watch out for Satan. That was supposed to look out for myself. See, really, my biggest problem is the guy that walks around under my hat. I'm not important enough for the enemy to come straight in and bother me. He might send an imp once in a while, but I trip myself up. He doesn't have to. I trip myself up. Again, it's sin or self. Spirit or self. This is spirit. This is capital S spirit. Or I can do what Rick wants to today.
Right.
Or I can do what the Spirit wants me to do. Or I can make a choice and do what Rick wants to do. Or I can go by this. Or I can do what Rick wants to do. Or I can go by this.
Right.
Many times a day, We're faced with these choices. I need to watch out for self. I need to watch out for self. Look out for self. It's verse 8. Look to yourselves, that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. You don't want to lose your reward on judgment day. You don't want to lose that. We need to be faithful. How long are we going to be faithful? To the end. To the end. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Notice that's singular. We're right back to one again.
Right.
One doctrine. Anytime doctrine has an S on it, it's doctrines of men or doctrines of devils. There's only one doctrine.
Right.
Only one doctrine. It's the doctrine of Christ.
Right.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed or good luck. You wouldn't wish him good luck. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Amen. Now these false teachers, they'll want to come visit you. And maybe here they might want to room. It may have been a boarding house. They might want to use your house to come in. How about for a group study? They might want to come in for a group study. Maybe for a home Bible study.
Yeah.
It's going to sound good. It's going to sound good. Now also down through here, man has always felt that he was to love his friends. But somehow we always feel free to hate those that's mistreated us. But that's not what Brother John's talking about. He says no. He says no. Now these false teachers are everywhere. They do everything but follow Christ.
Right.
Yes, amen.
They teach ridiculous things to ensnare and seduce millions.
Right.
Probably just about any TV channel,
yeah.
I'd say, this morning. We need to guard against those that deny that Christ came in the flesh. Need to guard against those that deny that He was sinless. Well, no one would say that, Brother Rick. Well, I don't know. We need to guard against those that say He was not God, that go against the deity of Christ. We need to guard against those that are against the death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel. We need to guard against those that say He's not Lord. We need to guard against those that say He's not coming back. We need to guard against those that teach you can become good enough under your own power, under your own works. That's not what the Lord has. He has a perfect sinless substitute for you and for me. God accepts us in His sinless Savior, the precious Savior that there's just one of. That's how you can be accepted. That's how. Verse 8 again, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. It's going to be bad if we get slicked.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be bad. It won't be fun. It's not true just so I get there. That's not true.
Right.
No. We need to abide in the doctrine of Christ. We need to live in the Bible. Follow the teachings of Christ, not about Christ. That's how they drum up a lot of things. We need to follow what Jesus said, not what others say He said or say about Him.
Yes, amen.
We need to follow the teachings of Christ, not about Christ.
Right.
I can say anything about Him. But this is what's true.
Yes, amen.
Do not receive deceivers or false teachers into your house. Do not encourage them. Do not allow them to be around your children.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I'm going to try it one more time.
Yes.
Do not allow them to be around your children.
Amen.
Or to teach. Yeah. Do not attend their meetings. Do not support in any way, prayer or money. Do not encourage at all. There's going to be judgment.
Right.
Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship. Wonder what no means in the Greek. Really? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Right. That is right.
No. None. None. Here's a caution. The apostle is cautioning us. Look out. Look out for Satan. Look out for self. I need to be able to recognize the deceiver. Stay around the real thing, and I'll know the counterfeit the second I hear it. It will not ring true. It will not ring true. Mom's roommate, which, by the way, I want to thank everyone for praying for Mom. Her roommate, good Christian people from Wyoming County, and the man testified to me how he grew up in false doctrine. But in the coal mines, about the first year after he got saved, a man took him in as his friend, taught him true doctrine, got him lined out. He's doing great. He's just 80 years old now, been preaching the gospel for about 40, 50 years, something like that. In one church for 46 years. And stay away from false doctrine. See, once you get saved, you will go toward the truth. When he heard the truth, he recognized it and went toward it. And that'll happen every time. That'll happen every time. The false is a threat to your family. You need to regard it as a threat. They're a thief. They're thieves. Look to yourself. Be careful. A visiting preacher cannot be accepted at face value. Everybody walks through the door. The preacher doesn't ask them if they want to preach this evening. Oh, I'm glad you're here. You want to preach? No, you can't do that. Because somebody walks in and says, hey, guess what? I'm a preacher. You need to use your eyes. You need to use your ears and listen.
Right.
It'll come out.
Yeah.
Imposters will tell on themselves. I need to listen. I need to watch. I need to watch. It'll be subtle, but it'll be serious. It's a serious thing to lose a crown.
Yeah, think about that.
Revelation 3:11. It's not true that we'll just be satisfied with a cabin in the corner of Glory Land.
That is right.
You're not going to like it very well when others... Let's try this. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Sound like a New Testament command right there. I'd hold on to it. I'd watch out for the false. I wouldn't keep them around. I'd watch out for those who abandon the truth. And what we need to do is abide in the truth. We need to abide in it. Let's try Acts 2:42. It all boils down to the truth. It may sound great. It may be exciting. It may be new. Acts 2:42. I'd really beware of something new. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, singular, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. They didn't even think about it. It's just what they did. Why would I do anything else? That's what they did. That's what they did. That's what we need to do. 2 Timothy 4:3. The truth always comes down to doctrine. Let me tell you this, cults hate doctrine. Now, we don't emphasize, we don't teach doctrine around here. Well, yeah, you do. Are you sure you don't? Really? 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come. Well, if it's not come now, it's not going to come because it's just about over. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The cults decry doctrine. They hate doctrine. They say it's divisive. Come over to our place. We don't teach doctrine. It's what they'll tell you. What you need to do is settle the matter at the door. When they knock on the door, right there's the place to stop it.
Right. That is right.
Refuse. Refuse. It's not a time for hospitality.
That is right.
Meet them at the door. Don't invite them in, is what John says. Refuse the apostate. Refuse. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the doctrine. Thank you for writing it down. God, help me to finish right. Help me to do right and look to you. Help me to abide in your word like you just instructed me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.